This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joel, I just committed a cardinal sin in an office. That would be heating up fish in the microwave. The look of disgust that came over your face as I said that.
Yikes.
You just can't be that guy. Luckily, there's pretty much nobody in our office because it's 7 o'clock on, what's today, Tuesday? Yeah. It's a fan evening show. I'm Josh Roundtree. Did you see what the Denver Broncos are up to now, Joel? You just talked about it, so I'm guessing you did. But a really kind of baffling decision, I guess. And look, Sean Payton has been a very, very good coach in the NFL. I'm not denying that. I think that there's a case to be made that Sean Payton is a guy that's, you know, Hall of Fame caliber coach. Or at least close to it. His resume and Mike Tomlin's resume are actually fairly similar. But the Denver Broncos decided to give up to New Orleans, which still has the rights, of course, to Sean Payton. They decided to give up a first-round pick to acquire Sean Payton, as well as reportedly likely a second-round pick, and they're going to get a pick back from the Saints. Here's my take on this. Hot take alert coming in. If I ran an NFL team, there is no coach in the NFL right now that I would give up a first-round pick for. Not one. Not one. Not even Bill Belichick in his prime. I don't think I would give up a first-round pick for. Now, look, I know what you're going to say. First-round picks, they can be busts. They can do this. They can do that. Coaches bring stability. Yada, yada, yada. I think coaching is really important in the NFL. We've talked a lot tonight about coaching, Mike Tomlin. I value first-round picks big time. Big time. I don't like trading them away. I was, even when they traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick, I was like a little hesitant. It worked out to the Steelers' credit. He's been a really good player for them. First round picks are no sure thing, but I do not like trading them at all. I want my team to pick, and to give that up plus likely a second round pick for Sean Payton? I don't know. The Denver Broncos are a mess, man. They are a mess. I mean, Nathaniel Hackett, the first game of the year, everyone was like, well, this guy sucks. He ain't going to last. And sure enough, he didn't. It's amazing to me that, you know, John Elway seems to escape a lot of deserved criticism there, too, because he's John Elway. If he were insert name, GM, that didn't have such strong ties to that organization, or president, I believe is what he is, of the team, but we know he's calling a lot of the shots there. If he were some no-name, unattached person, he'd probably be fired right now. But now they go out and make this move for Sean Payton. And you're thinking, okay, like, they're desperate to get a good coach. They went out and got Russell Wilson. They gave up a lot to get him. But they got a pick back when they traded Bradley Chubb, but they also lost Bradley Chubb. Don't love that. Now they're dealing to get Sean Payton. They're left without draft picks. They're trying to build this franchise without top draft picks. They have Russell Wilson, though, and Russell Wilson stinks. I heard Mueller talking about this earlier, and I agree with what he said. I think Russell Wilson's washed up. I think he's done. I think his abilities were so dependent on his ability to get out of the pocket. I think his success was built on what he could do. He's one of the best passers outside of the pocket that we've seen in the NFL in years, decades, ever. But he was contained to the pocket this year and was not good. Especially, remember early in the season this year, how many times the Broncos were in primetime? And it was like week in and week out, I was like, oh God, we got to watch the Broncos play.
Where they could barely score a touchdown?
Yes.
Couldn't against Indianapolis?
Does Sean Payton help them there? Yeah, I think so. He's been a good offensive mind, but he also doesn't have Drew Brees anymore. And now look, I think we're starting to find that these elite quarterbacks make elite coaches elite. Brady, I think, in his prime, made Belichick, and vice versa. I think they helped one another. But Belichick without Brady's not Belichick. He's not winning all those Super Bowls. No way. Sean Payton without Drew Brees? Eh. I think he's a decent coach, but I don't think he's an elite coach. And if you're going to trade a first and second round pick for a coach, he better be a damn elite coach. I don't know that Sean Payton is that guy anymore. I think he might be a good coach, but he's been out of the game now for a little bit. This is going to be fascinating, though. The Broncos are nothing if not interesting. Now you're going to combine Russell Wilson, who may be washed up, with a coach that I think there's a massive question mark on him. He's been very successful, no doubt. But 2 years ago, he was 9-8 without Drew Brees. He was really successful with Drew Brees, not so much without. Then we find out later, and this is from Ian Rappaport, and he started this tweet with the word unbelievable, and it really is. The Broncos, this is according to Ian Rappaport from NFL Network, the Broncos spent today trying to hire D'Amico Ryans again today before he recommitted to the Texans. When he agreed to terms with the Texans, they moved and finalized Sean Payton. You're telling me that if you're the Denver Broncos, your second choice is requiring you to give up a first and second round pick? That's your number two? What are you doing? How do you give up a first and second round pick to the bridesmaid in your coach search? That is unbelievable. He's right. What are you thinking if you're the Broncos? How do you let that get out as well? My goodness, do they look like fools tonight. Maybe it works. Like, maybe Sean Payton goes there and his career gets back on track. Maybe he's able to get Russell Wilson back to the quarterback that he was. Maybe they find ways to actually, you know, score points in NFL games, which last time I checked is kind of important. Maybe that all happens. Maybe we're sitting here in a year and the Denver Broncos are deep playoff contenders. But, man, Peyton is going to a division with Russell Wilson where they have Patrick Mahomes established, Super Bowl caliber team. You have the Chargers and Justin Herbert. Good team. We'll see what happens with the Raiders. Obviously, they're kind of in flux right now in what'll be post Derek Carr land. But how? How do you give up a first and second round pick for your number two choice? You're telling me that there wasn't anybody comparable to D'Amico Ryans that was somewhere between him and Sean Payton that you couldn't go anywhere else with that search? That's what it took? Oof. It's also competing philosophies as well, right? Like, and part of this I can understand, and part of this makes me scratch my head as to what they're doing, because one guy's a defensive guy and one guy's an offensive guy. So where do you want the direction of your football team to go? Do you want it to be at the top? Do you want it to be offense-based? Do you want it to be defense-based? Like, I have real questions with that. I think when you go into a coaching search, if you're an NFL team, you're saying like, okay, we want our organization to be about this. We want it to be about offense. We want it to be about defense. We have a quarterback that we need to get on track. Let's go offense. Well, their first pick was a guy that was going to help with their defense. It just kind of is competing philosophies from one coach to the next there in Denver. And again, like, it doesn't seem like John Elway gets... And maybe this is just the national view. I don't live in Denver. I don't read Denver papers every single day in and out. But it doesn't seem like John Elway gets a ton of heat for overseeing what's become a dumpster fire in Denver. Now, they won a Super Bowl not all that long ago. They got Peyton Manning and won a Super Bowl. They went to another Super Bowl. And everyone thought, like, okay, they're gonna do this again with Russell Wilson, and it fell flat. And they went through the absolute gutters looking for quarterbacks before that. I believe, Trevor Siemian was there. We had a Brock Osweiler showing in the past. Like, they've been through some bad quarterbacks out there in Denver. They've had a couple of future Hall of Famers, or at least very close to a Hall of Famer, I would say, in Russell Wilson. And now they bring in Sean Payton, hoping to catch lightning in a bottle. Man, D'Amico Ryans, a good hire for Houston, by the way. Like, I think that's a good move for Houston. They lucked out here. They didn't have to give up a first and second round pick, and they got the coach that Denver thinks is better than Sean Payton.
And Houston's going to have two first round picks this year.
Right. Right. Yeah, which organization would you rather be right now? You would think on paper Denver, right? Because they have, you know, the franchise quarterback. They have a future Hall of Fame quarterback, potentially, like, you would think they're more established, but I don't know. Denver might not be as good as Houston as far as a potential landing spot. And that's probably why D'Amico Ryans went to Houston instead of Denver. I mean, what does that say about the Broncos? That D'Amico Ryans would rather go to a place, and let's factor this in as well. The Houston Texans, 2 years in a row, have fired a black head coach. Now they're hiring a third in a row. They fired, after 1 year in consecutive seasons, black head coaches. Head coaches, period. Take race out of it even. Back-to-back years, they fired a coach. Our pal Chris Adamsi just texted me, Paxton Lynch, who can forget his memorable time with the Pittsburgh Steelers after it fizzled out in Denver. But, man, that I just cannot believe that your number two choice requires you to give up a first and a second-round pick. I said it before. I'm not giving up a first-round pick for any coach in the NFL. Not Mike Tomlin, not Nick Sirianni, not Andy Reid, not Kyle Shanahan. I'm not giving up a first-round pick for any of them. I think you can find good NFL head coaches waiting to come in, waiting to come up, waiting to get that call. And you don't have to sacrifice. And they weren't willing to sacrifice. That's the thing that blows my mind, is that they were willing to bring in D'Amico Ryans and get him for nothing. He was their first choice. And when that didn't work, they said, all right, we gotta give up the picks now. Like, that should be the guy that should be at the top of your list, the guy that you're willing to part with assets for. Man, we think it's bad here in Pittsburgh. We've talked a lot tonight already about stability and Mike Tomlin and extensions and all that, and it's not going so well at the moment. Part of me does think it's better to be like that. It's better to be consistent, to be stable, than it is to be that just drastically up and down.
Imagine if Denver misses the playoffs this year. Because you're not beating Kansas City.
No.
You need a wild card at best.
No. And you're going to have to beat the Chargers. You're going to have to beat the Raiders twice in that division. They're no lock. Crazy. Like, Sean Payton's a good coach. He won the NFC South 4 years in a row. He won a Super Bowl there. He's had success. There's no denying that. He also hasn't, one year he made the NFC Championship game since they won the Super Bowl. From 2010 to 2021, they made the NFC Championship game once. And they lost to the Rams. That is Mike Tomlin-esque right there. I said earlier, they have kind of comparable resumes, with the exception that Sean Payton has had years where he has finished under 500 or losing seasons. And they both have won Super Bowl that came very early in their time. That was Payton's fourth year that he won a Super Bowl down in New Orleans. And they beat the Colts. That's crazy, man. I cannot believe that your number two choice means that you have to give up so much. Wild. But, hey, that's their problem, right? I think their fans are probably not happy about this. I think they're going to maybe say, like, hey, we got a good coach. We got Sean Payton. But I don't know that they're happy about it. The Steelers here have a lot of decisions to make. We've been talking about Mike Tomlin throughout the course of the show. If you want to hop in, 412-928-9370 is the number. Mike Tomlin mentioned it earlier. According to Jerry Dulac, is going to get a contract extension that will take him through 2026, most likely. And that will be coming here this offseason. Are you happy about that? Do you want to talk about that? You want to talk about this Broncos situation? Let's get in on that. I also want to talk about Andy Weidel. Did not hear Andy Weidel's name from Alan Saunders as far as the contingent down there at the Senior Bowl. And I have an issue with that. We'll talk about that when we come back. I'm Josh Roundtree. It's a Fan Evening Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Our Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters Township. You can visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. Little breaking news out of the high school sports world, but fairly significant news. This kid, Vinny Cugini, I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce his last name. He's from Aquinas Academy. He broke the WPIL scoring record tonight. Have you seen this kid? It's like unbelievable. He has scored 2,841 career points. He averages over 40 points a game. Like 45 points a game, 47 points a game he averages as a high school player. I don't know that I had 45 points in any year that I played high school basketball. That's maybe not true. Maybe my junior year, but yeah, that was... I can tell you how many points, Joel, I had my freshman year. 3. You want to know when and how it happened, my man?
The score must have been pretty lopsided.
Oh, it absolutely was, yeah. Joel. Yes, thanks for bringing that into the equation. So it was the end. So my very first ever varsity game my freshman year, I get in. It's like the second game of a tip-off tournament around Thanksgiving. I get in. We're down like 20-something, 30, I don't know. And I get in at the end with like a minute to go. And my mind is like, it's made up. It's the second that I touch the ball, it's coming off my hand. Like, it's going up. I'm shooting. And so I get a ball on the right side, and I'm just like, I'm taking it. I was deep, like 3 feet beyond the arc. Just pulled up. Perfect. Drained it. Absolute swish. A bullet in. First shot I ever took in high school. Did not score again the rest of the year.
So you shot 100% that year?
No, I shot again. I shot more. I just didn't score again. Did not score again the rest of the year. 3 points as a freshman. But they were a sexy 3 points.
It's on par with Denver's offense last year.
I remember three points a game. I remember afterwards our coach said to me, like, they were like, we might need to get you in the lineup a little bit more. We didn't know you could shoot like that. And I didn't score the rest of the season. It's like, no, your inclination was correct. High school basketball is the best. I've been having a blast this year. I've been doing the games over on our sister station, KDK AM. So much fun. We'll be at Bell Vernon and Laurel Highlands this week. Rodney Gallagher. The West Virginia football commit. Quentin Martin plays basketball. He's, you know, 5-star football player at Bell Vernon. So that's going to be a lot of fun Friday night over on our sister station, News Radio KDK. We heard from Alan Saunders earlier about the Senior Bowl. And I asked him who all from the Steelers contingent was there, and there was one name that I was wanting to hear that I didn't, and that's Andy Weidel. And I have scoured Twitter, looked all around, trying to find if anybody spotted Andy Weidel today at the Senior Bowl. And I can't find anything. Doesn't mean that he's not there. Maybe he just wasn't present for today. Doesn't mean he's not going to be there. But I want Andy Weidel in charge of personnel decisions for the Steelers. Omar Khan was there. I'm not sure why. I'm not saying Omar Khan does not deserve to be there or should not be the GM, but if he's there and Weidel is not, that doesn't make sense to me. Omar Khan has never been a scout before. Andy Weidel has. Omar Khan's proficiency is the numbers game. It's the salary cap. None of the guys there are under contract. And look, I'm not saying that Omar Khan shouldn't and can't expand his horizon. I don't have an issue really with him being there. I just want to be sure, I guess, why is Andy Weidel not there? Because as we're seeing, the team that Andy Weidel left to join the Steelers, they're pretty damn good. They're the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to play for a Super Bowl next Sunday. He helped build that. I want him involved in this. I get concerned in a way that, and we've talked about this throughout the course of the show with Mike Tomlin, but does he have too much power? We've talked about the complacency, and I don't know, that's maybe not a good word for it, but I said it's kind of like being on Easy Street when, you know, every couple of years you're handed an extension with 2 years left on your deal, and there's never really any pressure because, as we have seen and as we know, the Steelers don't particularly like dismissing coaches when they have money left on their contracts. And if that did, in fact, get in the way of them keeping Matt Canada around, even though they may not admit that, it probably had a role to play somewhat for whatever measly amount of money Matt Canada was making. Imagine the fact that they really don't want to pay Mike Tomlin to not have to work. That's where the extension thing gets very intriguing to me. Because if they truly don't want to pay a coach to not work, eventually, right, they're going to have to pay Mike Tomlin or he's going to have to retire. They're going to either have to buy him out of what's remaining on his deal, which, as we know, is roughly, what, $12 million a year, or he's going to have to retire or resign. Those are the two options for them at this point. They're kind of stuck in a way. But this brings me back to the Andy Weidel of it all. He needs to be making the decisions here when it comes to the draft. In the past, it's been a combination of Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin. Kevin Colbert's out of the equation. Omar Khan is not a scouting guy. He's not a personnel guy, and that's totally fine. It's not his cup of tea. Let's not try to force, perhaps, a square peg into a round hole. Let's let Andy Weidel do what he does and take over the draft. Even above Mike Tomlin. I've been saying for the last couple of years that the Steelers need new outside blood to help shape this roster, to help shape this team, that Mike Tomlin should not be the be-all, end-all decision maker. If that's the case, why not just give Mike Tomlin the responsibilities of the GM and call it a day? It's what Bill Belichick has done. It's what worked out oh so swimmingly well for Bill O'Brien down in Houston, if you recall. Doesn't always work. Works out in New England, not so much other places. But if Mike Tomlin has that type of authority, if he has that type of power, why even go through the whole GM song and dance, the pony show? Why do it? Just say that Mike Tomlin is also the coach and however you want to phrase it, president, whatever it is, just give him that. I'm not suggesting that they do that, mind you. I don't want to get that twisted. I don't think that's a good idea. I think they need to let Andy Weidel take over the draft, make the selections, in consultation with Mike Tomlin. But if there is an argument, I think Andy Weidel needs to be sided with because I think the Steelers need a new, refreshing, more up-to-date in the NFL-based view of how you win in this league. And I think Andy Weidel can bring that better than anybody else they have that can make that type of decision. It's not to say that Mike Tomlin doesn't have a word or doesn't have a say or doesn't have an opinion. He certainly does, but Mike Tomlin is the coach, not the personnel leader. That's Andy Weidel. He makes the decisions when it comes to contracts. At least he should. I don't know why he's not there. Or at least why nobody could see him there looking at players and scouting players. Why he is not part of the contingent for the Steelers there. Hopefully, as we go here, Andy Weidel is far more hands-on in the draft. Because, again, he helped build a team that's playing for a Super Bowl next Sunday. Let's let that guy make decisions. Jeff Hathorn's going to join us when we come back. Jeff, of course, our terrific sports director here at 93.7 The Fan. He has his beat on what's going on with the Steelers. We're going to talk with him about Andy Weidel and much more. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Jeff Hathorn coming up next. I'm Josh Rountree here on The Fan Evening Show. Fan Hotline is presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. And we head out to the Fan Hotline right now, and we are joined by our very own Jeff Hathorn from right here at 93.7 The Fan. Jeff sees me a lot during football season, so when I'm hosting, I try to leave him alone. But when football season's not going, he doesn't see me as much, so now I'm going to bring him back on and pick his brain a little bit. How are you, Jeff?
When is football season not going anymore?
That's a good point.
And by the way, I want to say publicly, great of a job you did covering the Steelers this year. So thank you for all you did.
Well, I appreciate that. I've learned from someone who does a great job as well. So right back at you. Exactly. Yeah. That's who we'll go with. Jeff, we were just talking about Andy Weidel. Seeing a lot of reports from down at the Senior Bowl, just had Alan Saunders on a little bit ago. He did not mention Andy Weidel's name. Now, I'm not freaking out or hitting a panic button here that Andy Weidel won't be involved in some way down there, but my thought with Weidel was that he was essentially going to be the GM when it came to scouting, to finding players, to looking at players, that he was going to play that role in the GM sort of equation of the Steelers' leadership. Should he be? I mean, should that be where he is? And are you at all surprised that he wasn't at least part of the contingent, I guess, down there in Mobile looking at players here today?
I am, that he's not there today. Now, I don't know if he has something going on personally or if he's going to be down there the rest of the week, you know, or anything along those lines. But, yeah, I am surprised because while they trust their scouts and obviously they've got some other eyes down there, to your point, I thought Andy was the guy that was going to lead all that and would figure that he would do most of that in person. But I don't know the reason why, but, yeah, I'm surprised.
How do you feel like this will work when it comes to the draft now? Because obviously Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin had a good relationship for a long time. Kevin Colbert was the GM. He was technically higher ranking than Andy Weidel is now. You have Omar Khan in the equation, but as we know, he's not exactly a scout type when it comes to leading a football team. How will it work, do you think, when the Steelers sit down, when they get towards the draft, when they are at the draft room on draft night? How do you think it works? Like, who makes the final call, do you think, now when it comes to drafting players? Has it changed at all since Kevin Colbert left?
You know, I think you think over time that it's this, and there are certain players that a scout likes, that a GM likes, that Art Rooney likes, that Mike Tomlin likes. But I think they have done a good job of collaborating. I mean, they get in that room, they discuss things, they try to come to a consensus. I do believe, unlike, you know, I know a lot of people think, okay, Omar's the cap guy. I think he wants to establish himself, not in a negative way, but like, hey, I'm the GM. Like, I know what I'm doing. I may not have been at whatever place, but I read the reports. I see what's going on. Not that he's going to be in overruling mode, but he's going to want to show that, hey, I know what I'm doing here. I have a feel for what's going on. Ultimately, it's going to be a collaborative effort. But I think there'll be at times where certain guys are going to feel strongly about players to where they might push to get their way. I don't think it's a Mike Tomlin end game decision. I think his opinion means a hell of a lot because he's going to be the one coaching them. But I don't see it as I know there's a thought that, you know, Tomlin's taken over. I don't see that with this franchise. I don't.
Jeff, where are the Steelers at right now with the salary cap? We've heard Ian Rappaport, I think, reported yesterday that it's going to be a new record for a salary cap and $225 million nearly. Where do the Steelers sit heading into next year, and how much flexibility do they have, and how much can they have, I guess, with maybe some maneuvering here before we get to free agency and that point comes, and really before the season comes?
I mean, Ben goes off the books. That's good. They free up a few other salaries. However, as it stands right now, and you might look at overthecap.com or people might look at it and go, oh, man, they're not going to have any room. William Jackson's salary is going to go away. They're not going to pay him $10 million to try out at cornerback next year. They're going to either release him or, you know, rework his salary, or they would release him and sign him to something much less. They can also, with Cam Hayward, with T.J. Watt, with Minka Fitzpatrick, as those salaries increase, especially the Watt and Fitzpatrick, you know, they can work to turn those into signing bonuses and create some room. They felt comfortable, they being Art, when we talked to him last week, about the room that they would have and the flexibility they'll have to sign some guys. And to a lesser extent, that, you know, a couple of the offensive linemen, you know, they can be creative with. Now, here's the thing. If you go in and you see some other offensive linemen or you want to add a tackle here or there, be careful of moving too much money down the road, because what you don't want to be stuck with is dead cap money when you really need a position, say, in a year or two.
Along those lines, Jeff, I mean, I know during the season a lot of people were saying, well, you know, next year, you know, are they really going to pay Chukwuemeka for $13 million? James Daniels, I thought, was okay during the course of the year. He's owed $11 million. Are either of those guys, I think particularly Chukes, a potential dead cap candidate that they could be like, hey, we got to get some money off our books in some way. Do we get rid of him? But I guess at the same time, right, you're running a risk of getting rid of a starting player.
Yeah, and as we sit right now, obviously it will change. To what extent, we'll find out. But there are no backup offensive linemen on this roster for next year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the group they have. I think Chukes had because Chukes had a quiet season, he had a good season. You didn't hear much about him. There wasn't much complaining about him. There wasn't a ton of like, oh, man, Chukes messed this. Chukes screwed up this. He had a pretty good year this past year. I think they want to see how this group will continue to grow. I don't see them this year, any of those guys being a cap casualty. But the following year, since they're all still signed for two more seasons, depending on where the draft goes, you could see one of those guys in the following year be a cap casualty.
See, I'm with you on that, Jeff. I feel like, and I'll go even a step farther there, I think that they were so encouraged by what they saw in the run game to end the season that they might go away from drafting an offensive lineman first. That not necessarily that it's off the board for them, but if you were to rank, if you were internally at the Steelers facility and you saw their board on the most important positions to have to acquire in the draft, I don't think offensive line would be number one. It might not be number two or number three right now, because I think that they are encouraged by what they saw on the line. Do you feel something similar to that, or do you think that offensive line is a very real possibility in round one?
No, absolutely. I do believe, and I don't think it should be a cliche for them that, you know, you're looking at best player available. The last time you reached for somebody, it turned out horrible in Devin Bush because you reach for a position. They don't need to reach for offensive tackle for anyone on the offensive line. If one drops because other teams, you know, draft for need and trade up or whatever, however the draft board falls, and you've got what you think is going to be a great tackle there, take them. But don't reach, because there's no need to. I'm with you. I think there was progression on the offensive line, and everybody looks at Philadelphia and says, oh, look at that offensive line, and it's good. There's one first-round pick on that offensive line, and that was Lane Johnson, who was fourth overall. You're not picking fourth overall. So there's some risk involved, and I think the better lesson to be learned from Philadelphia is not how dominant they are on the offensive line. It's how dominant they are on the defensive line. And I would rather go defensive line than offensive line with my earlier pick in this draft.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Jeff, what about inside linebacker? What are they going to do there? I mean, obviously Miles Jack is under contract, but he has, and this kind of goes back to our cap conversation, he has a very high cap hit next year of over $11 million, and they could save $8 million by letting him walk, but if they do that, then they don't have any inside linebackers. What are they going to do in that position?
Yeah, I don't see him letting him walk. He has a really good relationship with Mike Tomlin. He bought in. The guys love him. He's a really good team player. You've been in there. You've seen him interact.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a higher cap hit, especially with Spillane being a question mark, and let's say Spillane signs elsewhere. Especially in that case, he's back. Even if Spillane re-signs, I see them wanting to work in, whether it's to continue to work with Mark Robinson, who they like as part of their group for the future, or with a draft pick. I think Miles Jack will be there.
Next to Miles Jack, and we're talking with Jeff Athorn, Jeff, Alex Highsmith, how are they going to make that work as far as a contract extension? This would be the offseason that he would get that extension, you would think, heading into the final year of his rookie deal. He had really a very strong year. There's no question about that. His previous 2 years were so-so, but a very strong year this year. You know, I wrote about this, as you know, the other day with kind of a comparison, I guess, to Bud Dupree and sort of the route that they went there. And this is a little bit different, in that they did give Dupree a couple of years extra on top of his initial deal. But how are they going to make that work with Alex Highsmith? And do you run the risk of potentially giving too much money to the same position, an outside linebackers, where you're giving up so much to T.J. Watt? Now, if you give up a lot to Alex Highsmith, it's two guys that are on the field at the same time, but it's a lot of money going to guys that do the same thing, essentially.
I think we're probably going to agree on this, and I'm not sure exactly your stance, but I'm not re-signing him. I would give him a low offer and say, listen, this is what we can afford. And if you're interested, even if it's just for a couple of years, and you're interested and you know you think you can even build on that and become and get TJ money somewhere else, then great. But I think opposite of a TJ Watt, in that because you are in a salary cap league, you can't pay everybody. And he's been a great find. He's worked his way up, and I think you move on to the next guy that you work through the system and hope that they see, you know, less attention because of TJ on the other side. I would love to see Alex Highsmith stay yeah. for a number of reasons, but how can you afford when you're going to have to pay a corner this offseason? You know, you mentioned middle linebacker. You got to bring in a safety. You know, maybe you go cheap there, but defensive line isn't cheap. If you want another receiver for Kenny Pickett, that's not going to be cheap. And, you know, Najee in a couple of years is going to cost a lot more money than he's costing you now. I mean, I don't see how they could financially make that work.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really, really tricky if they do. And I'm with you. Like, I would love to see him back because, A, I think he's a, you know, he's been a blossoming player here the last couple of years in the league, and I think he has the ability to form a really good tandem with T.J. Watt. But I'm with you. I don't know how you could potentially – I mean, let's say he gets $14 million. You're giving up $45 million nearly to outside linebackers. That's just a ton of money against your cap every single year.
And I think, Josh, if you had a really young defensive line that you knew you were going to have for the next couple of years kind of locked into a cheap salary, maybe you could do that. But that's not going to be the case because they're going to need some free agents in that position.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff, my next two nights, tomorrow night at the Dean Dome, the following night at Cameron Indoor. Pretty good combo.
Nice.
There. You like that?
Nice. Nice. By the way, I'm playing the – I love this game right now of being able to flip between three ACC games.
Mm.
Dude, there was a fan kicked out of the Miami game for yelling at an official.
A fan got kicked out.
Yeah. They stopped the game, went up, they motioned up in the stands, and then a police officer walked this guy out of the Miami game for yelling at an official. We don't know what was said. But, you know, with all the talk about officiating, interesting. And of all places, one of the most docile crowds in all the ACC as a guy get kicked out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.